Thank you for tuning in to Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage, where a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. For more information about Heritage Church of God, contact our church office at 419-861-9520 or visit us at our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to a message inspired by God.
Let's have prayer tonight. We've got a whole list of names that we lifted up Sunday and a bunch more that are being added to the agenda. But here's the way to look at it. God himself knows every need that is represented not only here, but throughout the entire church and the body of Christ. And some of you may have unspoken needs. Those are needs that only the Spirit of God has given to you, and you don't necessarily want to publicly pour out everybody's stuff, and I understand that. But God knows it. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you tonight as we come into your house. We thank you as the body of Christ that we can come and find encouragement in your word and support from you. We pray tonight, Lord, for those in the church that are not feeling well, those that are going to have surgeries, those, our Heavenly Father, that are facing, as the pastor said Sunday, storms. But we're reminded who is in the storm with us. And so, Jesus, we trust in you tonight to open our hearts and our minds in your name. Amen. Now, last week we covered a couple of things with regards to understanding the difference with the flesh and the difference with living in the Spirit, and what the things of the flesh cater to in this world, and the difference between living in a world that is flesh and a world that is spirit. In other words, I think I've said that what happens is we live in the kingdom of God. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. So we're living in the kingdom of God. And the things of this world are contrary to the things of the Spirit. The values of this world are not the same values as the kingdom of the Spirit of Christ. So the kingdom of Christ, or the kingdom of God, the values are totally different. That's why we have trouble understanding the values of Christ if we're connected so much to the world. We grow up. We learn by behavior. We're taught certain things and ways of this world. And many of them, some of them are amoral. Some of them are very moral. And some of them are not moral in the right way. And so we learn those things as we're growing up. And then one day, Christ comes along, and we, by the Holy Spirit, are revealed the presence of Christ, and we seek him, and we find him, and he gives us deliverance from our sin. So he starts moving us from the ways of the world into the ways of righteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, that was a major transition. In fact, when I decided to change my ways in Christ, by the power of Christ, go from the world into the world of the Spirit, there were a number of things that the Holy Spirit would reveal to me that I needed to change. And I thank God tonight that I did change. And I realized that I had found a better way than the way I was living. I had found a way that would bring peace and contentment to my heart and to my soul. And so what we've been dealing with and we've been talking about is changing our life so that we begin living in the Spirit rather than living in the flesh. When I refer to the flesh, I'm talking basically about the ways of this world, which, by the way, the ways of this world, since they're so contrary to the ways of the Spirit, we're constantly under a battle living in this world because we're fighting against the flesh. Does that make any sense? I mean, because the things of the flesh, they endeavor to get us to do things that are so contrary that we act out through our body, as we've been talking about, The spirit, if it doesn't change, it then is receiving thoughts from the mind, emotions, and will, being the soul part. And again, I'm just saying it over, we begin to act out in the flesh. And so I guess one of the key things for me was this. I learned after I found Christ that I was much better off to shake a hand than make a fist. Does that make sense? And making a fist is a tough road to go because there's always somebody that's got a bigger fist and they let you know it. I want to take you tonight to a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And what I am endeavoring to do tonight in kind of wrapping up this thought is to show you that once you have received the Spirit of Christ and you begin living in the Spirit, life in the Spirit, how things work out for your purpose in life. See, I think everybody wants a purpose in life. Everybody has to know that they're serving a purpose. And the purpose that we're bringing before you to serve is the purposes of God. And those purposes, by the way, are brought out by the Holy Spirit. See, when you're living in the Spirit, you're living by what God's will is, which is different than my will or self-centeredness or the will of somebody else. I think I remarked a few weeks ago that if you ever thought about it, everybody's got a plan for your life. And you really don't want to listen to everybody's plan for your life. Let God reveal to you the plan that He has for your life. Now, I know that the will that God had for me to go into ministry, Pastor Kay and his wife and Mary, is a different calling or different gifts, but God has a call and a plan for everybody's life, whether you go into ministry or you're serving in another capacity. If you allow the Holy Spirit to work through you, amazing things will take place. I had a funeral today, and the family I've known for over 38 years, and they're just marvelous people. And they're Christians. And I've watched them through the good times, and I've watched them through the bad times. And I said to them before I even stood up to speak, I want to pray that the Holy Spirit directs me with my thoughts. And here's why. If they're thoughts that are just coming from the flesh and they're not guided by the Spirit of God, then they're just fleshly thoughts. You know that the persons out there, we had a full memorial place there with a funeral home, and I said, many of you out there will not understand what I'm going to say about God unless the Holy Spirit is drawing you unto salvation. Because the world doesn't understand the things of God. Did you know that? You know what the word says? The things of the world are foolishness. The things of God are foolishness to the things of the world. They don't understand it. So I thought, well, I wanted to show you how the Spirit of Christ works in our lives, and they're all different. I'm not imposing, overlaying any of what God does for me and the way He works through my life upon you, but I want to give you some idea of how you can minister wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, how the Spirit of Christ, who has changed your life, who has delivered you, made you a righteous person, can have an impact in this world. For me, it happens many times in many different ways. And one part of that reason is because no matter where I go, I love to say, Lord, would you just reveal your Spirit through me? Because there's somebody in this world today, somebody that needs some help. There's somebody that needs to get on the right path, and they need to know the joy that you have offered to me. And the joy of the Lord is going to be your strength. And so as you minister, you pray that the Holy Spirit will go before you. Now, don't confuse a Spirit-filled life necessarily with a life of demonstrative emotion. That's false. Not all the times, because we all are emotional creatures. But don't confuse the fact that it's if you jump higher than the next person, if you do something that's greater than the other person, don't confuse that with a spirit-filled life. A spirit-filled life is when you are surrendered and committed to do what the Holy Spirit does for you. And the way that he takes the things that we've been talking about in the past weeks, the way that he takes our lives is this. It's not a static list. It's not like saying, I said last week, it's got to be God and it's got to be family and it's got to be church. And then there's another static list. Everybody, do you know what happens today? A lot of churches, I should say pastors, they want to have formulas. Yeah, you got to have a formula for this. I remember in my early years, some of you remember, the Roman road that you did in the scripture? I mean, we remember those. Jan, you remember Kennedy's evangelism program, that kind of
spiritual laws.
Oh, thank you. That's another one. Yes, I'm right. What we do in our humanity is we do formulas. And we like to say 1, 2, 3, 4. If you follow this, that's the way it goes. When I was in school, I was taught as we prepared our messages and our hermeneutics and expository messages, we were to take and develop 3 points out of a passage. We were to read 10 commentaries on each verse and then develop our points and go from there. There was a formula that we had to do, and that really worked well when I was early in the ministry. I'm going to tell you what, those were the greatest sermons you've ever heard. At least I thought so. One day I realized I was talking to nobody. It was going right over everybody's head. And I thought, told Mary, I'd say, Mary, that was so awesome. Do you see how we laid that out? It was really, she'd say, yeah, but nobody got it. Then I realized that unless the Holy Spirit was moving it and directing it and applying what he wanted to it instead of what your education had taught you to do, then it really was going to miss a lot of people. I thank God I learned that very early because I spent, and they said you'd do this, I'd spend 20 hours a week on one sermon. Back in the day, we were doing 3 a week. So that adds up to a little more than my 40-hour work week. But by doing all those commentaries and all those verses, I thank God I was gaining a lot of knowledge, but I wanted the knowledge to convert to wisdom that people could receive. And so what happens is we begin learning certain things certain ways, and then all of a sudden one day the light goes on and we say, wait a minute, I was talking to the guy at the gas station. Guess what? God just directed me to say, hey, I'm sorry to hear you're going through tough times. I'll pray for you. You see, it's very powerful when the Holy Spirit is directing it, when he is guiding. It didn't have to be something that was real demonstrative. I didn't have to jump higher than anybody else. The bottom line is, you had to be walking in the Spirit and have the love of God on your heart. So I was thinking that today and asking God to bless the time that we had together, because I realized that it was not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And I want to tell you tonight, living by faith, living in the Spirit, is the greatest place you will ever live in your life. You will see more things happen that God wants to do, more blessings, more privileges, more times where God will manifest himself in a wonderful, miraculous, powerful way. You will have friends that will be blessed just from the fact that the Spirit of God woke you up and said, you know what, why don't you pray for so-and-so, and you begin praying for them. So I was going down through the scripture, and I came across 1 Corinthians chapter 2, And I want to share with you a passage of Scripture when Paul was talking to the Corinthian church. You see, the Corinthian church had some difficulties going for it. And they had some problems in the church, and people were starting to get lost. And in the second chapter, as I go down through here, bear with me, but I want to read this context. Verse 1 says, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." Now, this message is replete in the Scripture, many different places. What he was saying is this: I'm not coming here by how important I am. I'm not exalting myself. I'm coming in the power of the Spirit of Almighty God and by his grace. And by that power and by that presence, and everyone here, listen to me, walking in the Spirit is an exciting place. Because there are times when that static list that I talked about, those formulas that we as men have created, those formulas may work at times, but those formulas with God are not static. As a matter of fact, if you say, well, I've got it down now, it's God, family, church, da-da-da, right? I got this list down. That list is not static. It's always cycling. As a matter of fact, you may say, okay, it's my priority today that family's first. And guess what? Somebody gets sick. And you may be moved by the Holy Spirit to say, you know, I need to go visit them. Or I need to go to the hospital. Or I need to pray for them at this moment. And then in confusion, you say, but wait a minute, I got my list. Family's first. What's going on here? You have to see that it's cyclical. Anything at any time, the Holy Spirit can use any one of those and change the priority of it. You see, where we get confused is we come up with a formula and we say we're going to stick to the formula, but the formula doesn't work. You're talking to somebody about their sickness, and all of a sudden, God changes your conversation, and you be moved by the Holy Spirit to say, you know what, I think we just need to pray together right now. What has happened? He's circling or cycling the things within you, the power of his power, because he knows what is best, and he's using us to fulfill that purpose. I know you've experienced that. Many of you have had times when God changes your plans. I had a sermon one time I wrote, "When God Messes Up Your Plans." You ever had God mess up your plans? Messed up Mary's plans. Not me. No, not me. Yeah, when Mary met me, it messed up her plans. But the mother of Jesus, think about it. She was just a teenager, and all of a sudden she's pregnant. I mean, you can imagine, right? You've heard all the stories. Walking around pushing a baby carriage. Can you imagine what they said about her? Not supposed to have been with a man? You see, when God messes up your plans, he's doing it for his divine purpose, and he's doing it through you. That's the neat thing. So when God messes up your plans, go ahead and receive it and accept it, and don't get caught on the formula or the list. The Scripture says that he was there and he was talking to them and he was telling them he's coming to them to proclaim to them this good news about God. And not knowing nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So he was trying to get to them, wait a minute, I'm not coming to you with great words and a lot of elegance. I'm coming to you in the power of God's Spirit. Now, the next verse says, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom, get it, it's very important, not the wisdom of this age. You see, the Holy Spirit has God's wisdom, not the wisdom of this age. That's why it's so important to listen to, be obedient to, and surrender your lives to the Holy Spirit who is working in you. He is in you. If you've come to know Christ, the Holy Spirit is working in you. And he's working through everything that you have. And in the scripture, he says, the wisdom of the mature of this world is not the wisdom that we're looking for. For the wisdom of this world is the rulers of this age. And the rulers of this age miss it. You see, the foolishness that the world thinks God's word is just that. He says, no, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, just stay with me. He just showed you in the scripture that he's not talking about the wisdom of this age or this world. He's talking about a wisdom and an understanding that comes from God himself, that is totally spirit-driven. And then he says, however, as it is written. Now think of this passage, because I sure did this week. It just got to me. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Now, don't throw rocks at me because I'm not perfect. And sometimes my thinking is slow. But, you know, I've watched over the years everything you can imagine, and I'm sure you have too, of how people in the church want to know everything there is about heaven. They talk about how it's going to be and when the second coming is going to appear and whether you're, I said last week, you're a post-trib, pre-trib, om-trib, I'm a pan-trib, it's all going to pan out all right. You look at that and you hear about it. You hear of people that they're seeing visions and they've got special angelic encounters, and now we've got people that have taken a trip to heaven, come back from the dead. But I have a question. What does God's word say? Do I take this and cut it out of my Bible? Because it tells me here, no eye has seen. Didn't they see Jesus on a tower one time? Do you remember that in Findlay? Some of you have been around long enough where everybody was going to Findlay to see Jesus on the tower. And yet I'm reading in the context of Scripture that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Now, how would that happen if God's wisdom would reveal to someone the mysteries of God? It would only happen through the Holy Spirit. You see, walking in the Spirit, things do happen. There are visions that people have had or seen. But to blanket the thing out there and say, oh, guess what? Here's the way. We saw him over there. Or guess when he's coming? Everybody knows when he's coming. No, you don't. You and I don't know nothing about heaven. We really don't. Only what's written in the Scripture. And there are some Scriptures in Revelation that talk about it. But things are revealed to us by the Spirit of God. So when I was looking at this, I got thinking, oh, wait a minute. I know people that are making big money off of this stuff. I mean, seriously, think. There's some pretty big television guys out there that are making big bucks out of things that they're saying. You know, there's even people that are saying they knew when the second coming was coming, and so guess what? They went and stood on a mountain and said it was going to be that day. We had that happen in Toledo. You'd lose all of your integrity when he doesn't show up. Why? Because God said those are mysteries that no one has seen unless it's seen by the Spirit of Christ himself. So God has revealed it to us through his Spirit. And the Holy Spirit begins to bear witness within us. Do you know the Scripture gives us, through the Spirit, assurance and confidence and hope? I don't have to see heaven to believe in it. That's not faith. I know it's there. I told a group of people today, if you've ever been like it is today, a beautiful day, and you walk outside and you see the grass and it's green, and you see the flowers that are out there, you know, God has manifested himself in so many ways. If you stop and think about it, everything not long ago was all dead. Grass was brown. There was no leaves on the trees. There weren't flowers coming up. But guess what? All of a sudden, boom, they come right back up. And those of you that mow grass will realize that's a fact. So when you look at that kind of stuff, you say, wait a minute, God has revealed himself in so many ways. I said at the very beginning of this session that when I came to know Jesus Christ, I went to a restaurant with the crew that I worked with, and they made fun of me because I was staring out the window. And I know it's a different experience, and not everybody has had this blessed experience, it was, but everything was colorful. It was almost like when I had my Cadillacs. Remember I told you I had Cadillacs? You know what? My cataracts taken off. There was a film that covered everything, and the day after I accepted Christ and God had forgiven me, when I went to work and we're sitting in the restaurant, I looked out the window and everything was just marvelous. The grass was green. The flowers were beautiful. I couldn't quit staring at it. Honestly, it was like somebody had just taken the blinders off and all of a sudden I was seeing a whole new world. What was I seeing? I was seeing a whole new life. I was seeing the manifestation of God's glorious, wonderful works. And you know what? That's kind of the way it is with us. So then I was going down through this, and I'm reading the rest of it, and it says, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Isn't that amazing? You don't even have to go to Google to search it, which I do a lot. But the Holy Spirit searches the things of God, those things that he wants to have a purpose for you and use in your life with your friends, your neighbors, whoever you come in contact with. Because guess what? God's not concerned about your things, and he's not concerned about all those toys that you have. He's concerned about people. He's concerned about souls. I said today, you never see a hearse with a U-Haul behind it. You're not going to take it with you. He's concerned about people. Searches all things, for who among knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because the spiritual man makes judgment about all things, but he himself is not subject to any human's judgment. Well, I had another thought today. The first one I've had in a long time. And that thought, well, I shouldn't say thought, I have a lot of thoughts. But I have a lot of inspiring thoughts that the Holy Spirit gives me. Did you know that the Scripture makes it very clear? Oh, which, by the way, if you want to be the context of this particular passage, you're going to find that passage of no eye has seen. It appeared in Isaiah 64:4 as well in a similar context. So it's been around a long time. But I had this idea of the scripture, and the scripture, which I had written down, was interesting because it talked about in 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 6, this context. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven. Therefore, the scripture says, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and we prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Now, here's just a change of thought. As I'm living in the Spirit, as I'm listening to what God has to say and how I can fulfill His purpose and I walk, things happen. You know, your health may get bad. You may not be able to do everything you used to do. And when I read the context of that scripture, I was thinking about a tent because I'm doing a funeral today. And then it dawned on me. That's all we are. We are a spirit in a tent. And you see, tents are really useful. They're really good. Those of you that have children, you know how you use a tent. You know, when I was a child, when I wanted to make a tent, I could make one in the kitchen with two chairs. I'd throw something over the chairs, and I'd have myself a little tent underneath there. And I would come up with all kinds of imagination and things that I was in my tent. When the kids got older, we pitched a tent in the backyard. And we had fun out in the tent. And then sometimes we went to the campground. Some of you people are tent people. You love a tent. And then the older you get, you have to have a mattress that's foam so it doesn't feel so hard on the ground, right? Tents can be a lot of fun. They have a lot of purpose. A tent can provide an awful lot, but there's something about tents that I learned. Tents wear out. Yeah. Years ago, I was taught that if you rub the inside of a canvas tent, it'll leak when it's raining. I realized that you had to put something on the ground to keep the moisture coming up in the tent. Sometimes tents just get old and they get ragged and they get torn. You see, here's the point of this is we are in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, but we're living in this tent. That's all it is. It's just a tent. And the tent eventually wears out. And the tent doesn't last as long as it used to. But we're still walking in the Spirit because the Spirit is what abides within us. And so when I thought about that today, I thought, well, wait a minute, that really makes sense to me. Because sometimes this tent can't see too well. Sometimes, well, mine always here is perfect. But, I have selective hearing. And it works really well. So does Mary. Sometimes the hearing doesn't work. Sometimes the rest of it doesn't work. Why? Because the scripture makes it very clear that we are not destined to live in this world. We're destined to live in eternity with God. But while we're in this world, the tent that we live in and the spirit that lives within us fulfills the will of God through us. And so God then is manifesting and working Himself through you and through me. Now, it's the best place to live ever because it's not static what the Spirit does. It moves. And the next time that you're traveling down the road or you're going someplace and you're just confident that's the priority of your life and God messes up your plans and changes it, praise God for what He's doing. Because it means that there's somebody out there that is in need of what the Spirit has to offer in Christ. There's somebody out there that needs salvation or hope or faith in Christ. My friends, you can have all the things in this world. And doesn't the scripture say, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? You can have it all. You can be popular. You can have money. You can have fame. You can achieve great success in this world. But the greatest achievement and success you'll ever have in life is allowing the Spirit of Christ to work in you and through you on behalf of the Heavenly Father. Amen?
Amen.
So I leave you with that tonight. This is brevity. I'm doing pretty good, I think. What time is it, Ron? 5 till?
25 till.
I'm really getting good, 25 till. That's...
Amen.
Thank you, Jerry. God bless you. I'm going to pray for you twice for your surgery tomorrow. Well, you are a great crowd, and I'm glad that we can have this teaching. I want to urge you to allow the Holy Spirit to work through you and minister through you. And that's how you fulfill the purposes of God. It's not that difficult. It's called surrender. There was a monkey. I told you about the monkey trap, didn't I? There's a thing in Africa where they catch monkeys. What they do is they take a coconut and they hollow it out and they drill a hole in the back and they stick a chain through there and they tie a bolt on the end of that chain and they tie the chain around a tree and they put food in the coconut. And what happens is the monkeys will come up, and the hole that they cut in it is just big enough for their hand to get in. So they put food inside the coconut, and the monkeys come up, and they'll put their hand inside the coconut, and they'll grab the food. But guess what? They won't let go. They can't get their hand out. And the trappers just walk up and catch them because they will not let go of that food. What's the analogy? Let go, let God. If you let go and let God have full control of your life, he'll use you in unbelievable ways that you won't even imagine or think. That's the way that the Holy Spirit works. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening. I thank you for those that are willing to listen, but I pray that they listen to what you have to say according to your word. May the scriptures come alive in our hearts tonight. May we pull truth from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. For more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, please contact our church office at 419-861-9520 or visit us on our website, heritagechurchofgod.org. This has been a production of Heritage Outreach Ministries.